Right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Long Ball Football Podcast, a weekly podcast by two brothers about all things football in Portugal. You're listening to myself, Albert, and as always, I'm joined by my brother Barney. How are you doing, Barney? How's things?
Very good. Feels like the season finishing is just sort of suddenly catches up with you, doesn't it? It's like, wow, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Done. We obviously had is it the League Cup? How do you say it? What's the translation?
Taça de Portugal. It's not the league. The Taça de League is the League Cup, I guess. For the English viewers, I guess it's like the FA Cup.
Yeah.
You know, the main domestic trophy.
Which was obviously a nice win for Sporting. Sort of
mad game. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should shout out the All Things Alvalade boys. I just was watching the game, so I joined their watch along, and it was quite amusing watching it from their perspective because I think it was quite a controversial game. There was a couple of moments that I don't think Benfica fans were happy about.
I felt like I'd formed all my opinions of the league, and then that game happens, and you're sort of like, oh, maybe I don't know, you
Do you know
know.
what I took from that game, Barney, was that Sporting didn't need to win that game. Like from the fans' perspective, I think the fans wouldn't have cared if they lost that game.
Yeah.
But I think the Benfica fans, like, it really mattered that they lost that game because then it was like, you know, the season
Yeah.
without a major trophy in, you know, at home. And it kind of ended the season on a bit of a downer, didn't it, really?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's football. We've got that. And Bonnie, let's not forget, we've got the second leg of the relegation playoff.
Well, yeah. Well,
no, that seems to be dead and buried already.
Yeah.
ABS are 3-0 up against Frizzella from the first leg, if you didn't know already.
There's a guy got two goals. I've never heard of him. Never heard of him. Honestly. I think that's, you know, to be fair, to some of the teams at the lower end of the table, a couple of players popped up towards the end of the season. There was that striker for Varennes. Is it Pavenda?
Pavenda, yeah.
A couple of last-minute goals.
Mate, it's when it's transfer season coming up. They're angling for a move when they know their club's going down. You know,
I'm a bit gutted because I think that Vizela kit is gorgeous. Another Kappa kit, isn't it? Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I think we were rooting for Vizela, I think, but yeah, that looks like that ship sailed. Anyway, we'll see. The second leg's on Sunday, I think. So maybe there's a big comeback to be had.
Sorry, but will that be the first time in a couple of seasons that the
correct?
That the Liga 2 team won't come up.
Yeah, so it'll be the first time the Premier League team has survived via the playoff, if they survive, since it was introduced. And I think this is the fourth edition. So since it was reintroduced, I know they did it in the past, but since they reintroduced it. Barney, do you want to explain what we're doing today?
Well, it's our award show, probably our favourite show of the year.
What the viewers can't see is we've got the tuxedos on.
Of course.
Barney's got a lovely glass of Portuguese red. I say it every time. It's never from Portugal.
It's never Portuguese, no. I was thinking about today, actually, when I got this bottle of wine. I was like, Portuguese wine in England is so shit, man. Someone needs to sort it out.
There's a gap in the market for an importer. Maybe that could be your dream job.
I just had the thought, like, why is there not cheap Vino Verde in England? There's just not, there's like, you know, there's none of that. No, and I was just about to say about the tuxedos, like, Braga had that armor kit, didn't they? I was sort of, I know there was that tuxedo kit. Was that like a Spanish team or Italian team?
I think so. It's Spanish.
Yeah. But I'm quite proud that I feel like it's quite easy, could have happened in Portugal, those sort of city kits, but we haven't seen too many of them. Although you've got a couple of city Morens kits, I'd say.
Yeah, they're just design, though. They're not like novelty.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
No, they're nice. They're just, I wouldn't buy them. That's all that sort of
They're for the more discerning. I remember going, we're getting so distracted. We'll get onto it soon. But I remember I went to buy that kit in the short-lived Liga Portugal store in Matosinhos, and the look on the guy's face when I said I wanted that one, I think maybe no one had got that one before. RIP that shop. That was a great shop. I think it's a Benfica store now, ironically, in Porto. State of the league, isn't it? All right, should we crack on? We're going to do it. We're going to do the Premier League. Sorry, what am I talking about? It's a Long Ball Football awards show. If you've listened to the show before, you would have heard this show. It's our big end of season bash. We are going to hand out such prestigious awards as Player of the Season, Young Player of the Season, Manager of the Season, and the Equipe Revelação, like the best surprising team in a positive sense. You can't quite translate that into English. I think it's a nice little phrase, like the revelatory team. It works. And then we'll be doing a team of the season each, and our speciality at the end, a non-big three team of the season. So a team of the season, the best 11 we can come up with, made up of players outside of the top three teams, which is always a bit of fun. So stick around to hear our thoughts. And shall we get started, Barney? And I think, yeah, we're not going to beat around the bush. We don't do it like the Oscars and save the best till last. We'll just start with the big ones. Start with the player of the season. So for each of these awards, we've got a number of nominations. We will read out the nominations, kind of discuss them, and then pick a winner at the end. And if you want to get involved, feel free to tweet us, send us a message, or whatever you like with your picks. We're always interested to hear you guys' thoughts. So yeah, definitely send those over. But yes, on to the big one, Barney. The Primeira Liga player of the season, as picked by the Longball Football Podcast. And the five nominations are, in alphabetical order, Álvaro Carreras from Benfica, Victor Gyökeres from Sporting, Morten Hjulmand, also from Sporting, Rodrigo Mora from Porto, and Francisco Trincão from Sporting. So three from Sporting, kind of natural, I guess, because they won the league. One from Benfica and one from Porto. Let's start at the top, Barney. Álvaro Carreras, the 21-year-old left back from Benfica, his first season in the Portuguese league. He's strongly linked as we speak with a move to Real Madrid, which I think gives you an indication of how highly he's rated. He's kind of operated at left back, left wing back, also in a back three on the left side. This season, Barney's played 32 games, scored 3 goals and 1 assist. That's just in the league, by the way. So, yeah, what do you make of him? Because I think it's been a very positive season for him, first season in Portugal.
Yeah, it's been really good. I think it's easy to forget perhaps that the shoes he's filling in Grimaldo. I know it's been a couple of seasons now,
Very true.
but Grimaldo was at Benfica for such a long time and ever present, really. And when he left, he was like one of their best players. I think obviously they're different profiles of players, though, I would say. I think I like Carreras on the ball. I think he's very good at passing inside. Whereas, you think of Grimaldo sort of getting crossed in, although, he likes to come inside as well. I think the thing with Carreras is it felt like a shaky start last season. It wasn't sort of favoured by Schmidt completely. But then this season, yeah, it's and I think especially for Benfica, when you compare it to the other side of the pitch at the right back position where they have had to change personnel a lot. Bar's had his issues. Araújo's come in, who's obviously a centre back filling in. But Carreras has had a really good season, and I like the transfers rumors about him, because I think he's I feel like Benfica have always had an issue with building up play. If the way they build up play, I've had that feeling for a couple of years now. Carreras feels like he's been a bit of an antidote to that. He's worked really well with Postecoglou on that left-hand side as well. I think that's been a really important partnership for Benfica this season. And he's just yeah. He's I mean, I think you forget his age, and really, this is like, I know he was on loan from Manu to Spanish to the Spanish league, and I can't remember what a team. Sorry, but realistically, this is,
Granada.
yeah. But
Also Preston North End.
oh really? I forgot about that. I think the point I'm trying to make is like he's sort of been thrown in the deep end, I would say, like in terms of starting regularly, and he's done really well. I think he's a really tidy, I think he's a really smart player. I think that's, yeah, because you mentioned the goals and assists, not really Grimaldo's level, not that it needs to be, but it doesn't really paint the full picture, does it? He's a really clever, smart player.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for me, the reason that, because the elephant in the room is that he's in this nomination ahead of Pavlidis, which I think might be seen as controversial. But for me, this was about, I wanted to pick a player who's, I think, has been playing at a high level the whole season. Pavlidis was playing well earlier in the season, but I think he burst into a life second part of the season. I'm aware of the contradiction with Rodrigo Moura. Don't worry. slightly hypocritical. But I just thought, for me, it was about a player who has developed really, really well, and at a very young age has made himself a one of Benfica's best players, one of their most consistent performers, now one of their most valuable assets. And I think he's playing beyond his years, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So I think it's been a really, really positive season for Kuroš. And I think slightly underrated. I think a lot of people are kind of almost sniffing at the Real Madrid moves, but rumors. But I can see him going to a big club. That player who it's a position that is often high in demand, and I think he's got a lot of attributes to not just like be the player that he is now, but to grow. With his physicality and his technical ability combining, I think there's a real gem of a player there. So.
What was that goal he scored in Europe? Was it against Barcelona? He scored a screamer, didn't he?
I think he scored a couple, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that's the thing I was going to say. He did really well in Europe as well. Like, yeah, really good.
Yes. And well, let's go on to the next nomination, Victor Gyökeres. Obviously, everybody knows the situation already. 33 goals, 33 games, sorry, 39 goals in 33 games, 7 assists. The man's just a monster, and we were lucky to have him, I think, for a second season in Portugal. I think it'd be a miracle if we see him for a third season. But he's been phenomenal from the moment he stepped foot in the country to the moment he leaves, and it was another just insane season.
Yes, and I remember asking the question a few weeks back, and I know that nobody really, I know it was quite a hypothetical question, and I don't think anybody went with him, but I asked that question. I don't know if you remember where I was like, who would have been the bigger loss, Amorim when he left or losing Gyökeres? Part of me still thinks that Amorim doesn't win the league of Gyökeres. I don't know. I just think he's been so good. I think he and it because he's been so good for so long now, it's almost I don't know if people take it for granted. He's absolutely unreal. He's been a real monster. Like I've never really seen anything like it. And I think it's going to be so interesting seeing like if he does leave this summer, seeing how Sporting cope with that, because I think then we might realize how important he is to the team. Because I know the thing with Sporting under Amorim, and it's sort of continued under Rui Borges, is like it's a real good team, it's a real good system, etc. But having a man like him is just unreal. I think he's just so special. I think like yeah, we're it's unbelievable what he's done, really. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we won't dwell on Gyökeres too much because I think, it's all been said already. But yeah, I think just for me, it's just the next thing is seeing where he goes next and what level he can take it to, which is what I'm excited to do. I've loved watching him in Portugal, and I hope he can take it to the next level and show the world everything he can do. Third nomination, Barney, Morten Hjulmand, the Sporting captain. I think people forget that. This guy is not Portuguese. He's not been in the league for very long, but he's the club captain. He played 28 games this season, scored 2 goals, and got 2 assists. And I think for me, probably one of the unsung heroes of the team. Maybe unsung is not the word because people probably are giving him credit. But do you know what I mean? I think that it's easy for a lot of players to kind of fall behind Gyökeres in the limelight, but he's been really, really instrumental to that team.
Yeah, so he's taken the captain's armband off Coates, the figure he was at Sporting. He's obviously navigated the managerial change, and the big part of that was the Basque coming in midfield, but a new midfield partner, and obviously in that 3-4-3 system, those central midfield roles are so important. You just need to do so much. There needs to be so much communication, so much ground covered. He obviously does that, but has guided the Basque through that transition as well. And I think we were crediting Rui Borges for that move a couple of weeks ago, but thinking about it, the Hjulmand's role in that and guiding him, being that partner, you can't really underestimate that. He's so good. And for me, I think his leadership is what really stands out. And like everything I've described just there, it's just yeah. It's been a really tough job if you think about it, and he's done it so well, made it look so easy.
Absolutely. And then the last two, well, next penultimate nomination, Rodrigo Mora. Yeah, like I said, maybe slightly controversial picking him ahead of somebody like Pavlidis, especially when similarly he only really played his best football in the second half of the season. But I wanted to give this young man some recognition because at 18 years old, he's doing fantastic things. This season, he played 23 games, he scored 10 goals and got 4 assists. And I think for me, Barney, the reason that I think he almost stands out more than Pavlidis is because of the way he elevated his team and carried them on his shoulders more so, I think, than a player like Pavlidis at a younger age. And that for me is the kind of the biggest positive about his season. Because, we see these young players in Portugal a lot, Barney. We saw, we had it with João Neves and Vitinha and all these players. The ones that are really special for me are the ones where you see them take on the responsibility and take on the weight of playing for their clubs at such a young age. And I think in many ways he reminds me of João Neves in that aspect.
Yeah, because I mean, Porto have had a real difficult time this season, and they've needed to grind out scrappy wins. They needed to, pull stuff out of the bag, and he has done that in a magical way. It's been stunning to watch. As you mentioned, he's so young. He's a real special talent. We both seem to both agree that we hope he's here again next year to sort of see what he can progress. I quite like him in that, you compare him to Vitinha and João Neves, but obviously playing that slightly further forward role, you sort of want to see more moments of magic around the box, and he's certainly given that so far. I think there's lots more to come from him in that sense. Samuel obviously got his goals this season, but looking at that Porto team, the third biggest team in Portugal, he has really been their only shining light, really. I think, and at whatever age, how many is he just turned 18 the other day? Like, it's crazy, really. I think that's a good shout, because I think he has had some real special moments this season. Which Jokeres has got his goals and stuff, but that feeling as a football fan, like, those moments of magic he's delivered,
Yeah, as well, definitely.
you don't really see that very often, do you? And I think, yeah, that's what stands him out for me.
Yeah, and I can't wait till next season. Hopefully, if he's playing at that level or even better for a full season, I really hope he doesn't leave this summer. Let's see, because he could leave and it could work out. But I've just got, I'd love to see him stay for another year and just absolutely boss the league. And I think that would be fantastic. And then lastly, Barney, Francisco Trincão, 34 games he played in every single league game this season. He got 9 goals and 14 assists. He was trusted by Amorim. He was trusted by Rui Borges. And I think he, again, if it wasn't for Victor Gyökeres, I think a lot of people would be banging on about what a great season he's had. And I think, yeah, for me, he's right up there with the best players we've seen in the league this season.
Yeah, in terms of minutes played, there's only one other outfield player who's played more minutes than him, and that was Marcelo from Orense, the defender. Otherwise, he's the highest person. So I think that tells its own story. As we've talked about with the other sporting players, he's transitioned through a couple of different formations, but has always been that important player. Asked to do a few different jobs. Yeah, it's if as we said, for a couple of other sporting players, if Jokeres wasn't there, he would be such a shining light in this team. And I was thinking about Pedro Gonçalves, Albert, and how, he's had the odd season where we've been like, wow, what a key player to this team. I don't know if Trincão's had as a more important season this season. Do you see what I mean? Like, I know Gonçalves had that season where he got so many goals, but Trincão, I don't know. He's really found his game this year in terms of the way he creates, the way he, brings others in. He's obviously had Jokeres as a great strike partner to play in a few times, but he just looks like a real. He's really come on this season. Like, he looks like a real. I think the the fact he'll be pushing for the national team sort of says it all, really. Like he's really been that good this year.
Yeah, and for a player like him to be playing some of the best football of his career after all the kind of moves that he's had and all that kind of stuff, I think it's really important. And he's another one who I hope he stays at Sporting for a little bit longer because, you know, he's clearly got something good going. And is that somewhere where he feels comfortable and he's an important player. So, credit to him this season. All right, well, it comes down to it. We've got to choose the winner. I think we all know that the winner is going to be Victor Gyökeres, of course. I mean, what more can be said about this player that hasn't been said already? One of the best players to ever play in this league. Incredible goal scorer, incredible athlete, and someone that we really hope goes on to grace the highest levels of Portuguese football. I mean, it's an obvious choice.
I will say, Albert, like obviously his next move is key, and how he performs, like it feels like I keep thinking about Darwin Nunez in this situation, and how like I think people perceive him as a bit of a flop, having but you know Darwin had one season really, didn't he? And then my gut is just like Gyökeres is not going to be like that. He's just going to keep
He's
going.
not. He's for me, Barney, he's 10 times the player that Darwin
Oh, of
Nunez
course,
was.
yeah.
Yeah, he's got the killer mentality. Just that's what I think sets him apart, you know, from other people who may be more of a flash in the pan. I just think it psychologically he's ready.
That last goal he scored when he took the shirt off, I was a bit taken aback by just his body. Because he looked massive, man. He looked, yeah.
He'll be able to compete physically in any league, that's for sure. All right, Victor Gyökeres, the long ball football player of the season. That was probably a predictable one. And maybe it was a bit harsh not to include Pavlidis in that conversation, but he wasn't going to win anyway, so I don't think it really matters at the end of the day. Let's do the next one, Barney, and do young player of the season. Now, this is a nice one. Very simple criteria. The player has to have been 21 or younger at the start of the season when the first ball was kicked. And once again, we have five nominations. And in alphabetical order, they are Samu Ajioa for Porto, Zeno Debast for Sporting, Roger Fernandes for Braga, Rodrigo Moura again for Porto. He gets in there twice. And Giovanni Quenda for Sporting. They actually run through the ages as well. Samu's 21. Debast is 21. Roger is 19. Rodrigo Moura is 18. And Giovanni Quenda is also 18. So let's start at the top and talk about Samu Ajioa, who I think had a very interesting season. I think a very promising season. He scored 19 goals. The joint second highest scorer in the league at just 21 years of age. He got those 19 goals in 30 games in the league. And I think it was a really, really good season for the young Spanish striker. Some people were talking about the fact that he kind of went through some patches where he wasn't playing his best. He was even dropped at some points. But like with all these players, Barney, important to remember these are very, very young players at the early stages of their career. So that it's always going to be kind of. There's going to be little things here and there that are not perfect yet. But as it goes, I think Porto can be very happy with their acquisition. And I think he will kick on. And if he can add maybe a little bit of consistency to his game and kind of maturity, which comes with time, I think he'll be a really, really good player.
Yeah, I think obviously when the signing came in the summer, everyone was a bit surprised, a bit shocked because he came with so much promise, and he's really delivered that first half of the season. I think when Anselmi came in, there was a slight transitional period where he took time to adjust, and I actually think that's goes to his credit because I think he has learned. I think he has changed slightly to sort of fit Anselmi's system a little bit more. He's had to sort of work on areas of his game. He's so instinctive. I think he's so powerful, and like you know you can tell like he just wants to be running, taking a touch and hitting it. And obviously you know we've seen him have to do a bit more this second half of the season, and I think he has, and I think he's learning, and I think he's developed really well. And I think his goal tally is great. I think he's going to be a real top talent. I think if you're looking at the Spanish men's team as well, like he's going to fit in. He's going to fill a hole there that Morata's going to leave and stuff like that. And Yeah, it's been a really impressive debut season. Obviously, like when we've got Gyökeres, the goal tallies sort of you sort of chuckle at really in comparison. But you know, it's not to be frowned at how many goals he's scored. And I think he's yeah, the fact that he's in this young player list, you know, sort of and reminding us of his age. You know, he's still a really young player, and but obviously physically he doesn't look like one of those young players. He's an absolute monster. And there's nothing to say he could go on. If you see him next season, he could dominate the league like Gyökeres has. He's got all those things in him.
Yeah, I think we do because we do see that type of player do well in Portugal, a kind of a physical striker who's able to physically dominate the game, I think can do very well in this league. And yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, at the moment, maybe you call him more of a rough diamond. At his age, but I think all the qualities are there to succeed. So, yeah, very excited about Samu. And again, another one. So I'm saying it a lot, but another one that I'm looking forward to watching them next season and seeing how they develop. Because I think, you know, him and Mora that we'll come on to are two players that, you know, could really grow and be really, really important players for Porto next season. The next player, Barney, Zeno de Bass, the Belgian defender slash midfielder, 21 years old, played 31 games this season. And I think for me, Barney, the story of De Bast's season was about maturity and how he visibly grew and improved as the season went on. He had some shaky moments, I think, at the start of the season. But he grew not only in confidence in the centre-back position, which was what he was signed in, but also he showed his adaptability and he was used in midfield. And I think he showed real class and quality in the midfield as well. And I think by the end of the season, De Bast was a real asset to that team because they had the injury problems in midfield. And he's another one who, at 21 years of age, when you think maybe Sporting might be losing a player like Diomande or Inacio, maybe even letting a player like Sen Just go, I think he could be a real, real quality player, more than he is at the moment, which I think he's already very, very good.
Well, the thing for me is those rough patches you mentioned came when he was playing in the back line. And the I feel like the moments he stood out has been when he's moved further forward. So I am interested to see what position he takes in the future. Because I love them in midfield, Albert. I just thought it's just my sort of player. And I remember joking about it at the time with, I think it was Patrick and on the podcast, I can't remember, but I remember joking about it, saying like there was a thing, I can't remember what game, but he did a piece of skill, and I was like, "That's Busquets," and we chuckled about it. But I honestly like think that I kept thinking about it because I don't really know. There are obviously players who can do that sort of that turn or that touch, but there's not many, and I think that Busquets comparison has just stuck with me because he looks so classy in midfield, and as you said, like it's a real maturity. He's got a real maturity to have been able to cope with that positional change, and as I mentioned before, when discussing Hulman, those two midfield roles are so key in a system like that. Like you have to be on it. You can't let anything slip. You can't make a mistake, basically. So yeah, I think that's been incredible. It was a very smart purchase from Sporting, because he obviously did come as a centre back, but they knew he was good on the ball, and he was obviously shown that. So yeah, I think perhaps looking forward, if he does feel go back into that back line, which as you mentioned, with the de potential departures, he could well do. It's whether he will have that defensive. Well, whether he's able to cope with that defensively, because I love him in midfield. I think he's been brilliant. I think it's, we're talking about a player who's never played in that position before, really coming in and having such a good season. He's been fantastic.
I think it is a very interesting question about what his future will be like positionally, because I think I still do wonder whether his future is in defence. Because I think when you look at the real top clubs of world football, I think he suits the profile of like being a defender more than being a midfielder. I wonder whether he's able to make that seamless transition to midfield in the Portuguese league because he's under less pressure and because he's got more time on the ball. Whereas I think if he was to make a step up to like a more demanding league or bigger club, whether that move to the back would just be better for him in terms of just giving him more of that time on the ball and stuff like that. So Yeah, I mean, whatever position he plays, clearly a phenomenal player, who I personally enjoyed watching very, very much this season. One of my favourites for sure. Next nomination, Barney, Roger Fernandes. Now, has this guy been nominated for Best Young Footballer of the season every season that we've done the Long Ball Football podcast? And he's only 19. He's got 2 years left. He could still win it one day if he doesn't win it today. He played 28 games. He scored 3 goals. He got 3 assists. Braga had a fairly indifferent season, but I think for me, the reason that Roger is in here is because I think we saw him more of a key player this season rather than a bit part player. You know, Bruma left the club, Diallo left the club in the summer, and he became really one of the club's best wingers. That's as well with the likes of Gourbi being signed and Gabriel Martinez and all those players. And yeah, I still thought Roger for me was one of the most effective attackers that they had.
Oh, but I honestly believe if he hadn't got that injury, I think Braga would have finished above Porto. I remember when he came back from that injury, and there was that game. I can't remember who they were playing, but he came on as a sub, and he changed it. And I just think he's shown this year, particularly more than any other year, he's really shown this year that he can affect games, and he's, I guess an easy comparison is. Is Saka, right? A left-footed right midfielder, and in the sense that I remember with Saka, it took him a bit of time, but then he found his feet, and he would cut inside, and he'd be dangerous coming in the box. And I think Roger has done that this season. And he's also done some very, he's shown his passing to be really good. I think the injury just, it just really stuttered that development, and I think I was really gutted for him when that happened, because he was building something, and he still got a healthy amount of games this season with the injury, but that's the thing that just holds me back a little bit on him this year. I think it's been so it's interesting what his next steps will be, but there's an opportunity for him to have one more year here with Braga, try and get a full season in, and prove how dangerous he can be. And I'll go back to that first point I made up. I really feel Braga would have finished above Porto if he'd stayed fit in that second half of the season.
Yeah, and he will have a new manager to guide him in the new season, obviously with Carvajal leaving. Only thing I'll add with Roger is that, again, he's so young. He's so young that it's like unfair to put these demands on him, but I think the next step for Roger is to have that season where we're talking about him as one of the league's best players, not just one of Braga's, like, and again, only 19. That moment could happen in the next 3 or 4 years, let alone the next one or two. So, yeah. But again, that was a player. I think we really love that player, Barney. So I'm glad we included him again. Rodrigo Moura, of course, the fourth nomination. I don't know if you want to add anything to what we already said in the Player of the Season nominations, but just a reminder, of course, 18 years old, 23 games, sorry, 10 goals, 4 assists. Really came out of his shell towards the second half of the season, and I think that was what kind of impressed the league so much. I think he's already got like a 70 million release clause and all this kind of stuff, so very highly rated player. And then of course Barney, Giovanni Kenda, 18 years old as well, still so young, and this for me is interesting. Kenda was involved in all 34 league games this season. He made 34 league appearances. That said, he only scored 2 goals and only got 4 assists. So very, very interesting season for Kendall, because obviously he burst onto the scene season before. A lot of very, very excited sporting fans when they saw him. And this season, he's played a lot of games and got a lot of minutes. Maybe not got the stats to back it up, but still, for a young player, that in itself, that kind of involvement and trust from all three managers that Sporting had, is it says a lot about the player.
I think it felt like Ruud Borges didn't. He moved, obviously, Ruud Borges sort of was inclined to move him from the right hand side where Amorim were playing him and put him on the left hand side. And obviously, being left footed, that sort of changed what he was doing. I think that the biggest credit I can give him really is that, I sort of expected more from him, and we're talking about a kid here, like a proper kid, who's played right wing back, left wing back, right forward, left forward, like so many positions. I pray that I think he's got more to develop in Portugal. I pray that he comes. Oh, I think he is coming back on loan, isn't he? That's the, despite the move to
Yeah, so
Chelsea.
he's moving to Chelsea 2026, but he'll be here next season, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, he's. I don't know what stands out most for me. I think his athleticism is amazing. He's great on the ball, obviously. I think he has the potential to become one of those dangerous dribblers. Like, I don't know. He's not like a Lamine Yamal, obviously. That's obviously the hot comparison at the moment for a young player, but he's got that sort of physicality I really like, even though, like, despite the sort of the he's not the tallest player. I think he's had a really excellent season, and as you mentioned, like the different managers coming in, the different roles he's had to play, I feel like there is a position for him. And I think maybe I'm not, and this is more of a criticism of Rui Borges, that I mean, obviously the fact that Trincão's there, but that right forward position, I think is nailed on for him.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just that, yeah, he the situation with the team, and this sort of goes back to the point I'm trying to make, I guess, that he's just fitted in best for the team always actually under Amorim and Rui Borges, and he's always delivered. So a really, really special player, and another one whose age is sort of like still a shock every time we mention it.
Yeah, I think for me, Barney, I see Kenda's future as an attacker, like a out and out attacker and a goal scorer, crucially for me. I think that's probably his biggest underused attribute at the moment. Like those stats are so low this season, only two league goals. But you're so right to point out that's because there's been no like sharing of responsibility with Trincão. Trincão has taken on all that responsibility in a right forward position. And so for Kenda, it's been, yeah, can he be a provider from the right wing back or left wing back position, which I think he's been a very useful player, but I don't think he's really thrived as well as he could. I mean, I see Kenda, that his development being to add a little bit of physicality, but not so much that he loses the kind of the real pace and the agility. But if he can add a bit more strength to his game and then a bit of power behind the shot, I think he could be a really, really good, well-rounded attacker. And yeah, he's personally for me, Barney, still one of my favourite young players in the league. And again, only 18, even though we've basically seen him play two seasons in a Premier League at this point. So yeah, really, really, really good player. All right, well, now we have to choose. And you know what? This is the first contentious one because the player of the season was a cut and dry Victor Gyökeres win. But this one, I think, is a lot tighter. Barney, who do you think should be the young player of the season?
Oh, this is a hard one. This one,
It is.
I'm leaning a little bit towards Samuel Albert. I think his goal tallies, and his importance to Porto in that sense. I don't know if that makes him the strongest. I maybe it does. I don't know. I love De Bast. Like, as a player to watch, I love De Bast, but. Oh, if I give you Samu and Debas, can you choose?
Well, I was going to say this, Barney. My head says Zeno De Bast, but my heart says Rodrigo Mora
Oh,
because
wow.
I just think that, you know, when you Barney, we've watched this league for quite a while now. You know, when you've seen a star player, like we saw it with João Neves, we saw it with Vitinha, we've seen it before. And I think when I look at Rodrigo Mora, I see that player. 10 goals is a great return at 18 years old. And I totally get what you're saying. Samu scored more goals, but I think Roger already looks the more complete, excuse me, Rodrigo Mora already looks the more complete player. And I think he reached heights that Samu didn't reach this season. So for me, that would be my pick.
Yeah, you make a very good case there. I'm happy to go with that.
But I think this is a very, very good list. You know, I think you can make an argument for quite literally all five of those
It always
players.
is, Albert. It always is.
Yeah.
Although, what I will say, and I'm not trying to stir shit or anything, but no Benfica player this year.
No, that's true. Not in the young player department. I mean, Carreras obviously we nominated for main player of the season, and he is, I think, 22. so maybe just out of the age range. But yeah, maybe in terms of the younger players, they didn't quite have that season, did they, with the real youngsters coming through. But that can change at any moment, which
They had a good few seasons, to be fair.
they did. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm sure all the youngsters will come back. All right, well, there you go. The second award of the day handed out to Rodrigo Moura, the 18-year-old wizard from Porto. Congratulations to Rodrigo. Your award is in the post. All right. Whew, Barney, if it wasn't taking long enough already, we've got another incredibly tough award, and that is for manager of the season. Now then, again, we've got five nominations. So let's go through them one by one in alphabetical order. We've got Rui Borges, Ian Cafro, Bruno Lage, Thiago Margarido, and Vasco Matos. Now, starting with the first in alphabetical order, Rui Borges. Obviously, again, similar to Jokeres Barney, I think people know the situation already. Came in, replaced João Pereira with the task of rescuing Sporting season. And that's exactly what he did. He won them the league, and he did what Ruben Amorim never could, and delivered the domestic double by bringing home the Taça de Portugal as well. So, an incredible first season at the top for Rui Borges. He's the first silverware in his career. The Premier League followed that up straight away with the Taça de Portugal. So, yeah, it's been a great first season at the top for Rui Borges.
Yeah, I maybe it's easy to forget what he did, what was doing with Vitória first half of the season, the sort of the what he was doing in Europe, the way no other manager had been able to do that for Vitória for a while, and obviously got the job and went through a guided Sporting to the title. I think that my biggest thing for Rui Borges is the fact that he's shown. He was able to adapt, understood the job. There's obviously been a lot of talk of that in world football recently about managers and how they come into a team and what they do. And he did an exemplary job in that sense. That's really boosted his stock in my opinion. He's had a fantastic season, and we can't really underestimate Vitória. Obviously a big club, but that jump up to Sporting is still huge. And he coped with it really well. I think he's been as we talked about a few times about like the it's just a I think he's quite calm, he's quite sensible, there's no fuss or anything around him really. He just done an incredible job. And I it's always obviously very nice to see a manager sort of come up through the league and have success. And yeah, he's been brilliant.
And I think I myself have kind of doubted whether he was the right man to take Sporting forward, but he's answered every question asked of him. He's crossed every hurdle, and I think he deserves an incredible amount of success. And I think although maybe the one accusation that you can level at him is not accusation, but the one thing that caveat you could add is that he did it all with Ruben Amorim's team, which is probably a fair point. But he still had to do it. And I think João Pereira showed it's not as easy as just walking into Ruben Amorim's team and continuing his success. There's a lot of hard work that needs to go on behind the scenes in order to have that continuation, which he was able to do. So, yeah, big congratulations to Rui Borges and Sporting for their success this season. The next one, Barney, Ian Cafro, obviously the Estoril manager now. Estoril finished 8th in the league on 46 points. That's only they were 11 points off Europe in the end, behind Famalicão, Vitória, and Santa Clara. But I think while that may sound like a mid-table season, I don't think that really tells the full story of Estoril, who I think a lot of people thought would really struggle this season. They struggled last season. They probably had slightly less good squad on paper as well at this season. And yet Ian Cafro, who was in charge for the whole of the season, which is quite rare for a club at that level, was able to really take Estoril to a good place.
Yeah, and similarly to Rui Borges, he showed he was able to adapt, right? He came in with his idea, he had his pre-season, had a really poor start, and then he switched things up and, really sort of understood his squad, and he got the best out of them. He played some really attacking football. They scored more goals than Vitória and Santa Clara. Well, Santa Clara, who finished fifth, scored 36 goals compared to Astro, who scored 48. You know, there's a huge difference there. It's he, and he's navigated Portugal really well. We know he can speak Portuguese, but it's still he would have still been treated as an outsider, and he's handled that really well, and he's
Especially to walk into a country that kind of prides itself on producing managers, you know.
yeah, very much so. And I think what I like is that I think Andrew spoke about it really well on the last podcast we did about how Estoril have gone from this team that takes people in on loan, young players from the league, and takes them in on loan and uses their talent, to sort of changing it this year and actually identifying players, bringing them in, like your Austrian Basher at the back and other players, and Cafu's had to work with them and develop them, and he's done it so well. They haven't had the best defense. They conceded a lot of goals, but that's sort of okay because they've been so good going forward, able to build up. And yeah, I think the thing for me is that I think Estoril are very much on an upward trajectory thanks to him, and thanks to the trust that the club showed in him to sort of navigate that. And everything he talks about is building and growing and trying to like disrupt the league, and he's got the potential to do that. I think it's been a real breath of fresh air for a foreign manager in terms of coming into this league. He's been brilliant.
Yeah, and I think his is a story of trust, right? Like, and how if you trust your manager, then it breeds success. Like, because it's worth remembering that it didn't start so great. They had some poor results at the beginning of the season, and I think a lot of people, even after 4 or 5 games, would have thought maybe they're going to call time on this experiment and give him the sack. But he really pulled out some great performances, increased the club's fortunes on the pitch, and they climbed the table. I think the next step for Estoril is just 10 or so extra points that will see them really in the European football battle. I think that would be the next aim for them. And do you know what, Barney? I think the good thing is about them this season is that, and this might seem like a backhanded compliment, but they don't have so many like standout stars that you think are just going to get robbed from the team, like in the way that they did last year, where Gaetan obviously moved to Braga, and two of their players moved to the Premier League. Although, admittedly one on loan, so was only a loan player, excuse me. So I think in a way they have a good chance of keeping the squad together, and if they can do that and even improve on the squad and keep the manager, then I think there's a real good chance that they kick on and do better than they did this year, which in itself was a real achievement. The third nomination, Barney, Bruno Lage for Benfica, who maybe people might think this is a strange inclusion because obviously they failed to win the league and they failed to win the cup. But I think personally, Barney, that Bruno Lage deserves a lot of credit for the work that he did at Benfica because, it's well documented the kind of messy situation that he came into after Roger Schmidt, a squad full of players that weren't his own, a lot of signings made by the previous management and by the club. And there was a real kind of imbalance to the squad and a lot of players maybe who weren't too happy with their situation. And he was able to really galvanize the group. And getting them playing well. He got the best out of Pavlidis. He got the best out of Carreras. She got the best out of Kotchu, who went through his own patches of bad form. A lot of players started to deliver for the manager. And I think, let's face it, they were one game away from winning the league. If they win the derby against Sporting on the penultimate day of the season, they probably win the league. They were only a matter of minutes away from winning the Taça de Portugal as well. So it could have been very different. That said, I think what they did achieve still deserves a lot of success. I had one or two criticisms of him. Like, I didn't think necessarily the way he handled substitutions all the time was very good. But on the whole, I think, like I said, a lot of credit deserves to go to Bruno Lage for what he did at Benfica this season.
Yeah, he did a hell of a job. I think he described. I think the biggest thing maybe is, I don't think you can underestimate the Benfica squad building situation. I think it has been very messy and quite poor. I think he himself had a good January window in terms of saying, look, I need a couple of players to do just a job for me for the next 6 months or whatever. You look at Brumu came in and had a few games. I think I'm sort of the opinion that I think his January window was, on the surface seemed quite bizarre, was actually quite smart. It sort of just it just kept them ticking over quite nicely. I think he's made the best midfield possible out of that squad. I think Roger Schmidt was really struggling with those combination of players
It's a good point.
to get something going, and I think Bruno Lage really found the best way to bring out the best in them. It is fine margins, isn't it? Part of me thinks that he should have done a little bit better. He potentially should have won the league. I don't know. I think that says it all, really. The fact that I'm contemplating that, considering the time he came into the club, what he had to navigate, and all that. Yeah, he's been brilliant. The same way we've praised Rui Borges for coming in and navigating a team mid-season, he's done exactly the same thing. I'm very interested to see what the next steps are. But that, that's not what we need to be talking about, really. He's done great, really. Because obviously Benfica, they are the biggest club in Portugal. The situation with the fans under Schmidt at that point was absolutely dire. There was a real issues going on, and he came in, he steadied the ship, he gave him a title fight. He's done a really good job.
Absolutely. And two left back, and actually probably two managers that are quite similar in some ways. The first being Thiago Margarido of Nacional, second one being Vasco Matos of Santa Clara. Now, it might seem slightly strange perhaps to nominate a manager of a club who finished 14th in the table with only 34 points. But I think when you look at the context of Nacional and the club that they are, and I think Barney, when we did our pre-season preview shows, I think we might have both predicted Nacional to go down. We'll have to dig those out, those predictions, and react to those. That might be a Patreon special, so keep your eyes peeled for that. But I think in that sense, the fact that for me, probably the worst squad in the league, and possibly the smallest budget as well, and the fact that the manager kept them up is a great story. The same manager that got them promoted is the same manager that kept them in the Primeira Liga, and I think it's a real success story an overachievement.
I think they've been. He's done a really good job. I've actually thought that some of those individuals in that team have been brilliant. I think the thing that's kept them going is the system that he's implemented, the continuity from last season. Maybe I don't know when to bring this point up, Albert, but I was going to say I feel like. When we've been looking at the season and identifying players from the smaller teams, I don't know if you agree, but it's felt like it's been quite hard, right? And I think the reason for that is because of we're seeing quite a few teams rely on the manager's system, and I think this is a perfect example of that. Tactically they've been so smart, so good, never been blown away by teams. Something on YouTube, right? Whenever I go on Liga Portugal stuff, the thing that always pops up was what was that Benfica win against Nacional a few years ago? Was it like 11? Was it
I think
wasn't
it was
11,
10. I think it was 10.
10-0, right? Senior Nacional 10-0. That always pops up. That wasn't happening this year. I think it's been a I think it's been a really good season for Nacional. We've seen big teams go down this year. And yeah, and they've never really been in danger.
Absolutely. Teams going down with a lot more resources than they've got and a lot more history in the league than they have. So I think, yeah, it deserves a lot of credit. And then the last one, Bonnie, Vasco Matos at Santa Clara. A similar story in a sense that that team was also promoted from the second division last season, also with the same manager. The difference being, Bonnie, that Santa Clara finished in fifth place with 57 points, 3 points above Vitória. And for the second time in recent years, Barney, they're bringing European football to the Azores. And I think it's a really an incredible achievement because they've been up there for most of the season, haven't they? They've been in those kind of top five, six, seven spots. And I think it's important to remember that we see this a lot from clubs that get there, but not all of them can hold on. And Santa Clara were able to hold on for what is quite a long season. They saw off Vitória there, and they secured the fifth place. And I think, for a club, a newly promoted club, to do it with the same manager that got them promoted and largely the same group of players, that for me is the most pleasing thing. And I think, yeah, I think it's a great achievement.
I was the story for me with Vasco Matos was it January where he turned down the lucrative move to Brazil to stay with the club, and that felt unheard of really in this league for a club that size. And then they have felt like they had a little bit of a blip, had a couple of tough games, and then but they did still manage to hold on. And it's the they've been so solid. I mentioned when talking about Ian Cafferay, they've scored not many goals, right? But they don't concede. That's been their real strength. They've kept clean sheets after clean sheets. So yeah, I it's and it's similarly to Nacional. Like it, when you think of individuals in that team, there's like one for me. Otherwise, it's the team effort, it's the system, it's the way the manager plays. So, yeah, and Vitória had a bit of a resurgence, to be honest. Like
True.
they really did, and to sort of keep themselves up against it, and there, yeah, they've been brilliant, and it's, yeah, the continuity hasn't been really any major signings this year, just kept things. Yeah, honestly, Albert, it does seem to be a pat like the way to crack this league is continuity. This is a league of changes, always huge overhaul players. Santa Clara, yeah.
Maybe a lot of
And
clubs will have learned from a few of these managers' success. Cafro, Margarito, and Matos. Continuity clearly breeds success.
yeah, I was gonna say, and like, it was pivotal that moment. It was pivotal because what was it? Botafogo, he was rumored to be going to like a
Big club.
huge club, and he didn't. And like I said, that's unheard of. That's just like that is just that's what really stands out for me. That moment, yeah, it was a really special season for Santa Clara. Actually, it was special, but it wasn't. Do you see what I mean? Like no, nothing stands out. Nothing's like wow. Nothing's like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It doesn't seem like a fluke or like a absurdity. It seemed like they were in control the whole time,
Yes. Yeah,
and
controls the word. Controls the
yeah.
world.
So yeah,
Yeah.
well there you have it. The five nominations: Rui Borges, Ian Cafro, Bruno Lage, Thiago Margarido, and Vasco Matos. Barney, for me, I'll tell you what. I'll give you the two, and you can make the final decision. Because for me, it feels like a toss up between Rui Borges for the league title and cup double, and Vasco Matos for Santa Clara for the kind of overachievement that you might expect from a newly promoted club. So go on, I'll let you deliberate.
Rui Borges seems the obvious one, but I liked everything we said about Matos then. And he's almost an anomaly, isn't he, in the sense of he didn't take that job, and that feels so important to their season and everything. I'm asking myself the question: if a different manager comes into sport, do they win the league anyway?
It's a very valid
Oh.
question. Clearly, João Pereira proved that that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, it's got no. Rui Borges has done an incredible job, and the thing I always think about as well is what he did at Vitória that first part of the season as well, which was
Very
incredible
good
in
point. We didn't
itself.
even mention that. Very good point.
It was amazing. Like he gave him a European run. We've wanted desperately wanted a Portuguese club to have a European run in the Conference League for years now, ever since it was created, and we haven't had that. And he gave us that as well as winning the league with Sporting. So great season for him.
Possibly the first long ball football manager of the season to win it for his contributions to two clubs. But I think it is a very, very valid point and a great choice. So congratulations to Rui Borges, who wins the long ball football manager of the season. And all right, buddy, let's do the last of our awards. And I think this can be a quick one. The Equipo Revelação, the most pleasantly surprising team. We discussed all three of them just then. Santa Clara, Estoril, and Nacional. So just to run through you again what happened. Santa Clara getting fifth place in European football after being newly promoted. Estoril finishing in eighth after a very, very strong season building under Ian Cafro. And Nacional for surviving on under Thiago Margarido after being newly promoted. All three teams, Barney, stood out, but I think based on what we've just said, surely this one goes to Santa Clara.
Oh, well, I don't know. I was thinking about who I've enjoyed watching more, Albert.
It's a good question.
I don't know if that means, but Santa Clara have been the revelation in that sense. Like, coming from Liga 2, I didn't know what to expect. They do have players that I do really like. Estoril have been fun. Estoril have been really
Yeah,
fun.
very good, very good. Yeah.
And Nacional, for statisticians, if you will, have been of an absolute dream. Looking at some of the stats from some of their individuals, the fact that Santa Clara were able to hold on and to the like took it to the last day, didn't it? Like that
They did, yeah.
was so that was quite special. And it'd be incredibly interesting to see what they do next. And I did not see them crying. I think I had high hopes for Estoril with Ian Cafro and obviously Estoril's history. I'm rambling a bit, Albert, because there's obviously reasons for all of them. But maybe we do have to give it to Santa Clara.
I think I'm pulling rank here. I think it is Santa Clara. All three teams had great seasons, but I just think to go from newly promoted to European football, I think that ties it up, and they deserve the plaudits. So yeah, we'll give that one to Santa Clara. All right, well, if you're listening to this show on the main feed of our podcast, that brings us to the end of the first half of this special award show. The second part will be following in a couple of days, where we'll be discussing our team of the season and non-Big Three team of the season. So keep an eye out for that in a couple of days. But thank you for listening to this first part of the Long Ball Football 24-25 award show.